الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ووالاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحة قال جل جلاله وتوبوا إلى الله جميعا أيها المؤمنون لعلكم تفلحون قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من لزم الاستغفار جعل الله له من كل ضيق مخرجا ومن كل هم فرجا ورزقه من حيث لا يحتسب وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها الناس توبوا إلى الله واستغفروا فإني أتوب إلى الله في اليوم 100 مرة صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected elders, brothers and friends, with the setting of the sun last night, we entered the middle 10 days of the blessed month of Ramadan. We know that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Hadith Sharif explained to us that Ramadan is divided into 3 parts. The first 10 days, when a person will be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will make an effort to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this person will earn the rahmat, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last 10 days, a person will continue to strive to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praise Allah ta'ala, then this person will earn the certificate of emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. Now Allah's Nabi said that these middle days, the middle 10 days of month of Ramadan, these are the days of the maghfirat, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the days of the maghfirat, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Generally we find that these are the days where we generally become a bit lazy, we take it a bit easy. Some people call it the graveyard shift. Take it a bit easy. Because initially, at the beginning of the month of Ramadan, there's the hype for Ramadan, the excitement of Ramadan. So everyone's in the mood. So alhamdulillah, we find that the masajid are full and everyone is in the mood. And then come to the last part of Ramadan, the night of Qadr, in search of the night of Qadr and drawing close to Eid. Again, everyone's excited. Everyone gets into the mood again. But these middle days, generally, not much to look forward to. The initial hype of the month of Ramadan has now died down. Eid is still a bit far away, so everyone tends to take it easy and they want to go slow. But these are very, very great days. These are very, very great days of the month of Ramadan. These are days wherein a person, where he will strive, he will make effort, he will be persistent in asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah has promised the person the forgiveness, the maghfirat of his sins. And what a great thing, what a great thing it is for a person to earn the maghfirat, to earn the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But unfortunately, my dear, today we do not realize and do not value the importance of asking Allah ta'ala for forgiveness, for getting our sins forgiven. That is why we find that a person will be prescribed by somebody to read a certain wazifa or a certain dua or do a certain thing to bring barakat in his rozi, to bring barakat in his sustenance. So the person with great pabandi, with great commitment, he'll hold on to that, and not a single day will go by without him missing that wazifa or that dua. Or a person is given a taweez for protection. So the person will make sure when they leave the house, they have to be wearing this taweez. But to get a person's sins forgiven, Allah's Nabi mentioned that person who makes wudu at home, and then he proceeds to the masjid, and each step that he takes, Allah Ta'ala promises him that Allah Ta'ala will forgive his sins. But we do not show importance to this. Why? Because maghfirat, seeking forgiveness for our sins, is not something high on our agenda. It is not something important to us. And the reason for this is because today, we have taken sin to be something very trivial, something very insignificant. The right person comes and asks you, Mawlana, is this thing haram? So you tell him, no, it's not haram, it's makruh. So you say, oh, it's only makruh, it's not haram. Or tell a person, this thing you're doing is a sin. You say, is it a major sin or minor sin? Failing to realize whether it's a major sin or minor sin, if it's displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not supposed to be doing it. Today we have trivialized our sins. Whereas Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu says, and some muhaddithin say this is a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنْ يَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ كَأَنَّهُ قَاعِدٌ تَحْتَ جَبَلٍ يَخَافُ وَيَقَى عَلِيهِ. That a believer sees his sins as though he's sitting under a mountain. He's sitting, a mountain has been uprooted from his place, is hovering above his head. and about to crash upon him. A believer views his sins to be something so great, so severe, so grave. And a kafir, a fajir, he sees his sins like a fly that is passed by the in front of the face of a person. Does not even bother about it. Does not even care about it. So graves of something that sins are something that is something very, very grave. Something very, very serious. Imam Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi, a famous scholar of the 8th century, in his kitab, Al-Jawabul Kafi Liman Sa'ala Anid Dawai Shafi, he mentions the harms of sins. He mentions up to over 40 harms of sins. Harms that will affect a person in this world, in the qabr of a person, in the akhirat. He mentions that it causes a person to be deprived of knowledge, to be deprived of blessings in his life, deprived of blessings in his rozi. Through sins, a person's heart now becomes sealed. Through sins, a person loses the nur, the shine of his face. And he mentions that a person, through committing sins, then he does not have an inclination towards good deeds, and is inclined towards evil things. So a person, when his heart becomes sealed this way, then for a person, for him to stand 20 rakats of tarawih at night, he'll dread it. But the whole day and the whole week, he'll be looking forward to the finals of a certain soccer event, or looking forward to the soccer World Cup. Why? Because now through sins, his heart has become sealed. And many, many other problems sins lead to. Today we find that the crisis around the world, the crisis that the Muslim Ummah is facing, whether it be in Syria or Palestine and other parts of the world, all the difficulties, the hardships, on one hand, the wealth of the Muslims being looted and plundered, the Muslims being butchered and massacred all around the world. You ask people, ask Muslims, other people, that what is the reason for this problem? So people give you various reasons they'll give you. Some will say, no, there are certain people in the world, the Illuminati, who are trying to control the world, and they say Islam and the Muslim is a threat to their objectives. That is why they want to get rid of the Muslims. Other people say, no, it is the Muslim government that have let us down. But when we ask Quran Sharif, and we study Quran Sharif, and ask Quran Sharif, that what is the reason? Why are the Muslims suffering like this? So Allah Ta'ala very, very clearly tells us, وَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. That all the difficulties, all the hardships, all the problems that Muslims face, بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. It is because of the sins of the people. Another ayat of the Quran says, مَا صَوَبَكَ مِنْ حَسِنَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا صَوَبَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. Any good that comes to you, it is through the benevolence and kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But whatever harm comes to you, whatever difficulty comes to you, then this is because of your own doings, because of your own sins. So Quran very clearly tells us that the reason for all your problems, all your difficulties, is what? Is because of your sins. And then when we look for the solution to our problems, again people ask them, what is the solution to the crisis that the Muslims are facing? So again people give various ideas. They will say, no, we need to boycott, and we need to put sanctions, and we need to march and protest. I'm not saying this is wrong, we shouldn't be doing this here. But when we turn again to Quran and Hadith, and ask Quran and Hadith that what is the solution to our problems, so Quran and Hadith very clearly again tell us, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. O believers, all of you, every single one of you, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. Turn to Allah ta'ala in repentance, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you may be successful. Successful in this world, successful in your qabr, and successful in your akhirat. Another hadith sharif says, مَنْ لَزِمَ الْإِسْتِفَارِ. Wonderful hadith. There's one hadith, short hadith, is a solution to every problem we face. مَنْ لَزِمَ الْإِسْتِفَارِ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مِنْ كُلِّ ضِيقٍ مَخْرَجًا وَمِنْ كُلِّ هَمٍ فَرَجًا وَرَزَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that person who makes abundant and sincere istighfar, he repents to Allah Ta'ala sincerely, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مِنْ كُلِّ ضِيقٍ مَخْرَجًا. From every tight situation, Allah Ta'ala will make a way out for the person. وَمِنْ كُلِّ هَمٍ فَرَجًا. And from every sadness, every grief the person has, Allah will bring happiness. وَرَزَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And Allah Ta'ala will provide for this person from sources that he least expects. So my dear brothers, the problems that we face today, the reason is our sins. And the solution is to make istighfar and tawbah and repent before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهُ حَقَّ قَدَرُ. We have not understood Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not a being, a God who is looking to punish us. Allah is not looking to torment us. In fact, the Quran Sharif, the same ayat says, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah puts us through difficulties so that we can turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is very, very kind. Every surah of the Quran begins with, except one surah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, who is Rahman, who is Rahim, who is kind, who is merciful, who is compassionate. One of the first words of Quran, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. The most merciful, the most kind. In the Hadith Sharif is mentioned that Allah Ta'ala created mercy. And Allah divided mercy into 100 parts. From the 100 parts, Allah Ta'ala kept 99 parts for Himself. And only one part of the mercy He sent down into this world. And in the world, all the mercy that you see one person displaying to another, a mother displaying to her child, father displaying to his child, an animal displaying to another animal, an insect displaying to another insect, jinnat displaying to another jinn, displaying to another jinn, all of this mercy is only from that one mercy that Allah sent down into this world. And tomorrow, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will take back this one mercy and add it again to that 99 mercies that He had. And with this 100% mercy, Allah Ta'ala will treat the believers on the day of Qiyamah. In a Hadith Sharif is mentioned, that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that once a group of captives were brought to Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. Among the captives, there was a lady. She was running frantically, looking for her child. Eventually, she finds a young infant child. She picks up her child. She embraces her child. She hugs her child. And she begins to suckle her child. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba looking on. Allah's Nabi said, "Oh my Sahaba, did you just not see this display of mercy that his mother showed towards her child?" Sahaba says, "Yes." "Oh my Sahaba, do you think that this mother will ever take her child and throw her child into the fire?" Sahaba say, "Oh Allah's Nabi, after the mercy we saw her display to her child, we don't think she'll ever do such a thing." Allah's Nabi said, "Lallahu arhamu bi abdihi min hadhihi bi waladiha." "Oh my Sahaba, taking qasam in Allah, that Allah is more merciful to his believing slave than his mother is to her child." Once Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is traveling, he comes to a group of people. Allah's Nabi asks, "Manil qawm, who are you people?" They say, "We are Muslims." Amongst the people, there is a mother who has her pot on the fire. And every time those flames of that fire kick up, the mother would pull her child away from that fire. And then this very same mother comes to Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And she says, "Oh Allah's Nabi, is not Allah more compassionate to his slaves than a mother is to her child?" So Allah's Nabi said, "Yes, of course he is." "Oh Allah's Nabi, will a mother ever throw her child into the fire?" Allah's Nabi catches the drift of this woman. He understands. She did not want the fire to harm her child. Allah is more merciful than a mother. Would Allah ever throw his believing slave into the fire of Jahannam? So maybe Allah Ta'ala is very, very, very merciful. And Allah Ta'ala is looking for excuses to forgive us. A person makes wudu, a person's minor sins are forgiven. A person walks to the masjid, Allah forgives the sins of the person. From one Jum'ah to another Jum'ah, a person's sins are forgiven. A person performs one Jum'ah, and then he reads the next Jum'ah, all the minor sins in between are forgiven. One Ramadan to another Ramadan, all the minor sins of a person are forgiven. It mentioned in a hadith, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that there was a person amongst the Bani Israel, the people of the past, that had murdered 99 people. From Quran Sharif, we understand that murder is one of the worst crimes that a person can commit. He had murdered 99 people, not one person, 99 people. But he felt some sort of remorse in his heart. So he goes to a scholar, or a so-called scholar, and he asks him, that is there any way that Allah will forgive me? I've murdered 99 people. Is there any way that Allah will forgive me? This person, because of the lack of knowledge, he says, "Murder, no way Allah will forgive you." So the person says, "In that case, if I'm not going to be forgiven, I might as well make it a century." He kills him as well. And now he killed 100 people. But still he had the remorse in his heart. So he goes to another pious person. And he says, "Is there any way that Allah Ta'ala will forgive me?" So the person says, "Yes, Allah is Ghafoorul Rahim. Allah is forgiving." Read Quran Sharif. In Taraweeh, listen attentively. How many times the word Ghafoorul Rahim, Afuun Ghafoor, Ghafir, Maghfira, how many times is mentioned in Quran Sharif? So he says, "Allah is Ghafoorul Rahim. What you must do now is sincerely repent to Allah Ta'ala and go to a certain village and stay amongst those people until you pass away. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will forgive you. So this person immediately sets off on his journey. And he's traveling towards that village. And as he's coming to the village, he passes away. So now the two groups of malaika, the malaika of forgiveness, and the malaika of azab, of punishment, they come and they're fighting over the soul of this person. The people, the malaika, the angels of azab say, this person murdered 100 people. He's coming with us to Jahannam. And the angels of rahmat, of Jannah, they say, no, he was going to this village to ask for forgiveness, to ask make tawbah. So he's coming with us. So Allah Ta'ala now makes another angel as a arbitrator between these two groups of angels. That you go and arbitrate between these two groups of angels. So the angel comes and he says that measure the distance from the village that he was coming from to the place where he passed away. And measure the distance from the place where he passed away to the village he was going to. Whichever one he is closer to, that will decide his fate. If he was closer to the village that he was coming from, that means he will go to Jahannam. And if he's closer to the village where he was going to, then he will be forgiven. Allah commanded those villages to move, the village that he was going to come a bit closer, and the village where he was coming from to go a bit further. And now they measured the distance and they found him to be one shibr, one hand span closer to the village that he was going to, and as a result, Allah Ta'ala forgive all the sins of this person. So my dear, Allah Ta'ala is very, very forgiving. Allah is looking for reasons to forgive us. All we have to do is repent, feel some sorrow, and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our sins. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite being ma'asum, he was free of sins. He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, tubu ilallah wa staghfiru. O people, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa staghfiru, and make and seek the maghfirat, seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fa inni atubu ilallahi fil yawmi mi'ata marra. For I, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, daily 100 times I make tawbah and istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala says that in a majlis, in one gathering of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would count more than 100 times Allah's Nabi saying, Allahumma ghfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabul ghafur. O kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, forgive me and make my tawbah and pardon me. You are the most forgiving. You are the most kind and the most forgiving. So Allah's Nabi, to teach the Ummah, not that Allah's Nabi had committed sin, but to teach the Ummah the importance, the gravity of sins, and the importance of making tawbah and istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we find Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they understood this mansha. They understood the importance of seeking tawbah and seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why when we find Sahaba, when they would do wrong, when they would commit a sin, then what extent they will go to have their sins forgiven. Abu Ulbaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, may Allah take us all of us to Medina Munawwara. In Medina Munawwara we have a pillar there called Ustuwana Abi Lubaba, also known Ustuwana Toba. It is the pillar of Toba. Because there was a Sahabi, Abu Lubaba, who had committed a certain sin. I'm not going to go into details now. But after he committed that sin, he felt the remorse in his heart. So he came to the masjid, and he tied himself to this pillar. And he says, I will not release myself. I will not untie myself until I am forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will stay here. Either Allah forgives me or I'll continue to remain tied to this pillar until my death comes. So he remained tied there. The entire day he will fast. In the evening his daughter will come and she would feed him something. And if he needed to relieve himself, he would untie himself, go relieve himself and come back and tie himself up again. And like this he remained for many, many days. Until Allah Ta'ala revealed the verses where Allah Ta'ala forgave Abu Lubaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So once he is now forgiven and he is untied, he comes to Allah's Nabi. He's very, very happy. Oh Allah's Nabi, still, I know I'm forgiven, but I want to give all my wealth away to ensure that my sin is forgiven. Allah's Nabi says, keep your wealth. So he says, Allah's Nabi, I will give 2/3 of my wealth. Allah's Nabi says, keep your wealth. He says, I'll give half my wealth. He says, Allah's Nabi, tell him, keep your wealth. So okay, I'll give 1/3 of my wealth away. Allah accepts it from him, and 1/3 of his wealth he gives away, so that he can have his tawbah accepted. We find in the hadith of Bukhari Muslim, very, very lengthy incident. Imam Nawawi rahmatullah mentioned in his Babu Tawbah, of his Kitab Riyadus Salihin, he mentions it, that there was a sahabi, the name of Ka'b bin Malik. Very, very lengthy incident. He says, in the Battle of Tabuk, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on a ghazwa, Battle of Tabuk, a very, very difficult, very, very trying journey for Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was a very, very hot time of the year. The journey was a very, very long journey they had to cover. And they were going to face a very, very formidable army, the Romans. Very, very large army they were going to face. So Allah's Nabi made a duty of every able-bodied Sahabi that he has to join this expedition. Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu says, at that time, whilst other people were suffering, they were battling, they didn't have an animal to ride. I had not one, but I had two animals to ride. So every morning the Sahaba would wake up and they'll make the preparations to go out on this expedition. He says, I thought that I'm in ease, I have the equipment, I'm ready. So when the time comes closer, I will get ready and I will go. So every day Sahaba wake up, get ready, and I will procrastinate and not do anything. Until the time came when the army of Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left and they now march towards Tabuk. He says, still I procrastinate. I said, tomorrow, until the time came when I got news that Allah's Nabi is now returning from this journey. So he says that now I thought to myself, I failed to join Allah's Nabi on this expedition. What excuse am I going to give to Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So he says, I thought of maybe making up some lies, lying to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But then I thought that if I lie to Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah will send down wahi from this heavens and I will be exposed. So I decided that I will speak the truth to Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. See, Allah's Nabi came back from the journey. And it was his habit when he would come back, first thing he would do, proceed to the masjid. And in the masjid, he read salah. And then he will listen to people from them, their excuses for not joining the expedition. So many of the munafiqeen came, the hypocrites came, and they gave the flimsy excuses. Allah's Nabi, knowing that they were munafiqeen, hypocrites, he accepted from them excuses and let them go. Then Ka'b bin Malik, Allah's Nabi knew this was a true sahabi. He says, I come. Allah's Nabi had a wry smile on his face. I could see he was smiling, but inside was angry. So Ka'b, why did you not join the expedition? Did you not have an animal to ride and join the expedition? He said, oh Allah's Nabi, I thought of making up a lie. If I sat in front of some king of the world, then I could have lied of him. I could have lied to him. لَقَدْ أُعْتِيتُ جَدَلًا. I've been given the gift of the garb. I'm be able to lie and know, present my argument in a very, very good way. But I realize I'm not sitting in front of any ordinary person. I'm sitting in front of Allah's Nabi. I lie to you, then Allah Ta'ala will send down wahi from the sky and I will be exposed. Oh Allah's Nabi, I have no excuse. I procrastinated, I delayed, and now you came back to Madinah Munawwara. Allah's Nabi say, أَمَّا هَذَا فَقَدْ صَدَقْ. This person is speaking the truth. But now you go, and I will wait for wahi to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge in your matter, whether you'll be forgiven or not. So he says, I leave from there. People close to me, family members came and told me, that why did you go back to Allah's Nabi and make some excuse? Other people made excuses and Allah's Nabi accepted from them and they were on their way. So why don't you also make an excuse? He says, again, I thought maybe I should go back and tell a lie. But he says, no, I stood firm that I will speak the truth and I will not lie. He says, after a few days, Allah's Nabi instructed all the people to boycott us. He says, there were other people, three of people like me, myself, Murarat ibn Rabi and Hilal bin Umayyah. Three of us, sincere Sahaba, not munafiqun, not hypocrites. Three of us were in the same position. We did not join the expedition. He says that Allah's Nabi instructed that the three of us now be boycotted. Nobody among Sahaba must talk to us. So he says, the other two people were grown-ups, they were old people, they would sit in their house and they would cry over their sin. I was the youngest of the lot. So I would still go to the masjid, I'll go to the marketplace, and look at the compliance of Sahaba. When they were instructed by Allah's Nabi not to talk to them, they refused to talk. He said, I will go to the masjid, not a single person will talk to me. I will go to the marketplace, not a single person will talk to me. He said, one day I went to the home of my beloved cousin, Abu Qatada, and I spoke to him, and I told him, do you not know me to be a true believer? The only thing my cousin told me, Allah wa Rasulullah alam, Allah and his messenger know best. He did not talk to me. He says 40 days went like this. 40 days went to this. They went like this. And to add insult to injury, he says, one day in the marketplace, there was a person from another place that had come with a letter from me. And in the letter written that one of the governors of Christian governors sent a letter to me, and he told me that we have heard that the people of Medina are treating you very, very badly. They are boycotting you. You don't deserve to be treated like this here. Why don't you accept Christianity and come to us and we will treat you well? But look at the iman of Sahaba. Today a person, na'udhu billah, save us. Today some mishap in his life. Some person has some mishap in his life. So he wants to show Allah a point. So na'udhu billah, possibly because murtad. I know of a person, because his wife had passed away while his children were very, very young. So he now, to show Allah a point, he became murtad. Allah save us. So, but sahaba, despite going through the difficulty, iman was like mountains in a heart. He said, "Me, I took this letter and I burnt it." And after 40 days, Allah's Nabi sends a message to us. One, people are boycotting you. Now, you must separate from your wives as well. So I sent a message back to Allah's Nabi. Must I divorce her or merely separate from her? Allah's Nabi said, merely separate her, don't divorce her. 40 days, 45 days, 50 days, totally boycotted. Not a single person speaking to them. He said, on the 50th morning, I read Salatul Fajr on the roof of my home. And then after Salatul Fajr, I hear a person calling out, "Ya Ka'b ibn Malik, abshir. O Ka'b bin Malik, receive the glad tidings. Allah Ta'ala has accepted your tawbah. Allah has forgiven you." He says, immediately I fell into sajda and I glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person who had called out, when he came to me, he said, "I took out my garments out of joy to reward this person for the very good news he gave me." He said, "I gave my clothing to this person." He said, "I had no other clothing besides that clothing. I had to borrow clothing from somebody else." He said, I borrowed clothing and then I went to the masjid. And when I was going to the masjid, groups of sahaba were meeting me. They understood the greatness of getting your sins forgiven. He said, they are greeting me and they are congratulating me. And then he says, I come to the masjid. And there is Allah's Nabi. And Allah's Nabi's face is beaming with joy. His face is shining. And he says, "O Ka'b bin Malik, from the day, this is probably the greatest day that you ever seen from the day your mother gave birth to you. Allah Ta'ala in Quran Sharif has revealed that Allah Ta'ala has forgiven you. وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا." In the 11th part of the entire, or the repentance and the tawbah of these people are mentioned. Allah has forgiven you in Quran Sharif. My dear brothers, today, the sahaba, for one wrong that he did, what extents they went to get their sins forgiven. Today, my dear brothers, day and night we commit sin. And the remorse does not even come into our hearts. Allah is not asking us that for the people to boycott us when you commit sin. Allah is not asking us to give away all our wealth when you commit sins. Allah Ta'ala is not asking us to tie ourselves up to the pillar of the masjid when you commit sins. Allah is asking us to at least feel a bit of remorse in your heart. At least regret over your sin. Turn to me in forgiveness and I am prepared to forgive you. The Hadith Sharif mentions, when a person repents, Allah Ta'ala becomes very, very happy. Why? Because when a person repents, he is conceding that there is a Rabb, there is a God who forgives sins. There is a God who is Rahim, Rahman, and who is prepared to forgive sins. So my dear brothers, in these middle days of Ramadan, these days of Maghfirat, it is vital, it is important that we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah and istighfar. If we do not get our sins forgiven in these days, then when will we get our sins forgiven? That is why the Hadith Sharif mentions Allah's Nabi once ascended the pulpit. He ascended the minbar. He said, "Ameen, Ameen, Ameen." Sahaba asked Allah's Nabi, "Why are you saying Ameen?" He says, "When I ascended one step, Jibreel came to me and he made a dua. I ascended the second step, he made a dua. I ascended the third step and he made a dua. And I said, Ameen to all his duas. When I ascended the first step, Jibreel said that, woe to that person who the month of Ramadan comes and he fails to secure the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala in the month of Ramadan. So my dear, the month of Ramadan, these middle days of Ramadan are the days of maghfirat, of tawbah, of istighfar, crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repenting to Allah ta'ala. All of us commit sins. Myself, all of us commit sins. But Allah ta'ala is prepared to forgive our sins. Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi mentioned in his kitab, just like how everything else has a procedure, perform salah is a certain procedure. Likewise, when it comes to tawbah and istighfar, there is a certain procedure. If a person wants his sins forgiven, there is a certain procedure. Number one, yuqli' anil ma'asiyah. The person must abandon the sin. Give up the sin. The person cannot be committing a sin, but at the back of, he can't be making tawbah, and at the back of his mind, he got intention to go back to the sin. Rather, completely abandon the sin. Secondly, yandama ala fi'liha. The person must regret committing the sin. And thirdly, make a firm intention never ever to return to that sin again. Make a firm intention never ever to return to the sin again. So totally abandon the sin, to regret over the sin, and make a firm intention never ever to return to that sin again. And he mentions that if a person had done somebody down, if you owe somebody money, if you abuse somebody, if you spoke ill to somebody, then of course a fourth condition is that a person should go to that person, pay him off, and if he needs to ask for his forgiveness. And of course, my dear brothers, if we have, for example, salah outstanding, zakat outstanding, or a person has neglected obligation of hajj, then of course for his tawbah to be accepted also, he has to make up for this mus salah, the mus fast, the zakat did not pay, and he has to do his hajj. So my dear brothers, in these days of Ramadan, we ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive us. The month of Ramadan is a time of maghfirat for tawbah, istighfar. We ask Allah Ta'ala that during these days of Ramadan, these middle 10 days of Ramadan, Allah give us the tawfiq, Allah give us the opportunity to cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and totally purify our sins of all sins. So that when the last 10 days of Ramadan come, we're in such a pure state, a state where now we are ready to receive the certificate of forgiveness or certificate of emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. Allah give us understanding.